The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Voddie Baucham. Some of you know him. He wrote a really important book called Fault Lines. He is the Dean of the School of Divinity at African Christian University in Zambia. Voddie, welcome to the program. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you. Always
listen,
good to spend time and hang out with you.
You're a voice of hope and clarity for a lot of people that are looking for hope and clarity, specifically with regard to the crazy woke agenda, critical race theory. Let me ask you a question. For those in my audience who are not familiar with you, not familiar with your book, Fault Lines, if you had to sum up just what is the problem with critical race theory in a nutshell, why? I mean, I know that it is not the answer. I know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's messed up. But in a nutshell, for people who don't get it, they're confused. What do you say to them?
First of all, it's an ideology that is rooted in a lie. Secondly, it's an ideology that has as its core a false sense of what humanity is and what humanity is about. Critical race theory, cultural Marxism is built on the idea that the world is made up of oppressors and the people that they oppress. It views everything through this lens. It gives this sort of simplistic answer to every problem that we have, which means at the end of the day, it erases personal responsibility, and it also erases those biblical answers that we have to issues that we face. So, you know, for those reasons, among a whole host of others, it is a really pernicious ideology.
Well, what do you make of the idea that you've got a lot of white evangelical pastors either bowing to critical race theory or letting it into their churches? What do you think is going on there? Is that just stupid white guilt and ignorance of what they're actually dealing with? I cannot for the life of me fathom that they would open the door to something that you know and I know is pernicious.
Yeah, there is a great deal of this stupid white guilt going on for sure. But what's interesting about that is now people are walking that back, right? You know, in 2020, 2021, there are a lot of people opening the door to these ideologies. A lot of those folks now are walking that back, but they're walking it back without acknowledging it. They're walking it back without saying, hey, that episode was unfortunate. That episode was wrong. Now they're trying to act like they were never on the wrong side of this issue and hope that people, you know, don't go back and look at the tape. Because it's bankrupt. This ideology is morally bankrupt. It's philosophically bankrupt. It's intellectually bankrupt. And it was never something that was sustainable. So, it's interesting to see people, walk away from it or people just walking further into it and further away from Christianity altogether.
Well, I wrote a book called Letter to the American Church, where I really believe I'm trying to call the church to repentance, to understand that if we do not speak with super clarity on all of these issues and address them, we're abdicating the role God has given us as the church. And this is a classic example where when we're following the culture rather than leading the culture or being countercultural, we become part of the problem. And I make the comparison to Germany under the Nazis. The German church did exactly what a lot of the evangelical church is doing in America today. Exactly the same thing. And the results were about as disastrous as you can imagine. And it's funny because even as I was hearing you talk, it's sort of like at the heart of it all is this thing called courage. Courage is not optional. Courage is not extra credit Christianity. You have to understand when you're in a fight, when you're being attacked, and you have to stand courageously against it. And that to me is when, you know, when we're talking about, you know, white guilt, it's cowardice. It's a lack of ability to say, excuse me, that's not right. And I'm going to stand against it. It's easier just to, you know, it's kind of like easier to pay the mafia than to try to stand against them. You just say, I don't want any trouble. You know, here's your pound of flesh. Here's your 30%. That's kind of what white corporate America is doing by opening the door to the diversity craziness. But the horror is that this is what the church is also not standing against. It's just amazing to me.
But it's worse, though. It's worse than that because people are being harmed. It's one thing to say, you know, I'm not going to stand against this or whatever, right? That kind of cowardice. It's another thing to say there is an answer. We have the answer. We have a duty and an obligation to share the answer, but we're not going to share the answer. We're going to watch your plight get worse while we, you know, break our arm, patting ourselves on the back for being such good white folks. That's even worse. That's worse than cowardice.
Well, it's certainly patronizing also. I know in the last few chapters of the Bible, it talks about who's going to be cast into the lake of fire. It says the cowardly. And it's just chilling to me that the church has lost that vision that we're supposed to stand. Christians were eaten by animals in the first century. The church has always been called to self-sacrificial courage because we have the secret idea that we know God has defeated death. And so I guess the question is, what do you see where you go? Do you see people waking up to this? Do you see people responding to your message?
Yeah, I most assuredly do. People are tired. People are fed up. And people also see that whatever's being sold, whatever's being pushed, these neo-Marxist ideas, these woke ideas, that they just don't have merit. So I'm excited about the fact that people are open to the gospel in interesting ways today. I think there's in many ways an open door here, and I'm excited about that. It also makes me a bit nervous because, in one sense, it feels kind of like a last chance. You know, it feels like we're going over the cliff.
And you know why that is? I can tell you why it feels like the last chance. Do you want to know why?
Tell me.
It is definitely the last chance. Yeah. If people don't wake up now, listen, we got to keep it real. If people don't wake up now, people don't repent now, it is game over. Ladies and gentlemen, you will reap a whirlwind. You cannot dream of the evil that you are opening the door to if you do not stand now. Vody, even that term, how to fix Black America, let's be honest, Black America is broken because for more than 50 years, starting with LBJ, basically, it has been subject to big government intrusion that has destroyed Black families, destroyed everything that ever could help Black America. But what you're saying and what I think is true is that things are bad enough in America and in Black America that people are willing to look at other ideas.
Yeah, we need to fix America, not just Black America.
Yes.
And that's really the whole point is the same things that are necessary for addressing and fixing the plight of Black Americans are the things that are necessary for addressing, correcting, and fixing the plight of of all Americans. You brought up the idea of fatherlessness, and it's a huge problem, and we know that it's a huge problem in Black America, with over 70% of Black children being born out of wedlock. But it's a huge and growing problem in America as a whole. And as I said earlier, when we look at issues and only paint with that one brush, that sort of Marxist oppressor-oppressed brush, then you begin to look at problems like incarceration rates and dropout rates and, violence and crime and all these sort of things. And if your only answer is oppression and racism, then you're not paying attention to the fact that we know that fatherlessness, for example, contributes to these things, right? And that's something that we need to be not just aware of, but that's something that we need to be calling out. That's something that we need to be screaming in the streets about. And that's something that we need to be calling men accountable on, and women as well, on this issue, rather than just pointing the finger, at some nebulous idea of the oppressor who's causing these things to happen.
Well, look, at the heart of Christianity is we're supposed to understand, I am my own worst oppressor. I need to repent. I am the problem. So when you want to point the finger at somebody, which is what atheist Marxists do, it makes the problem worse because it is not identifying the actual problem, the actual oppressor. It's creating a scapegoat, and round we go. And you are quite right.
And then we don't call out real oppression. And then when we see real oppression, we don't call it out. For example, as you said, I'm a dean at the African Christian University in Lusaka in Zambia. I've lived in South Central Africa for the last almost 8 years. And it amazes me how people want to talk about, white colonizers and white oppressors and this, that, and the other. But you never hear them, for example, talk about female genital mutilation. Or women being basically sold as child brides. I mean, these are real things that are happening, but we're not hearing about that. We're hearing about these other ideas that are about power. They're about transferring power. They're about me speaking up in a way that will cause people to give me positions, to give me power, to give me prestige that I haven't earned and that don't require me to really do anything in regard to real oppression.
Well, again, things are so bad in the world today and in America. It is astonishing to me that things have to get this bad before people wake up. But as you were saying before, I think, and I say often, things are so bad that there are people waking up. We've given some of these ideas long enough to play themselves out to say, hey, guess what? These are total failures. This problem has now gone all over the United States. This idea, it's basically, again, we have to be clear. These are Marxist ideas. They're dead ideas. They're wrong ideas. They have been We've given them enough time. They've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And if you're not part of the solution standing up against these ideas, ladies and gentlemen, then you really are part of the problem. And it falls to the church principally to stand against these things. I just want to be clear, church. It is up to us to be brave and to stand against these things, particularly with regard to this demonic idea. And I say demonic in the negative sense, called critical race theory, absolute garbage. But you know what, Vody, we have had people that I have revered over the years, people like Tim Keller, who have said, oh, I think people should, get their hands, read everything they can about critical race theory. And I thought, are you kidding me? That's like saying if get your hands on all the pornography you can so you can understand, so you can really understand what it's about. I thought, that's just bad pastoral advice. People should not be reading about critical race theory. It's going to confuse them. It's going to lead them away from the truth of the matter. They need leadership to help explain to them why this is terrible. They don't need to get their hands on reading books about white fragility or whatever it is. All of this stuff is, to my mind, it's the fault of the church, which is why I wrote my book, Letter to the American Church. God looks to his church to have no excuse for being courageous, standing up for truth against these lies. And you've been one of those voices that has been within the church standing up against this madness.
You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that the time was coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. But instead, you know, they would gather teachers in accordance with their own desires. They'd turn away from following the truth and turn aside to following myths. And we're seeing that. What we've seen in the last few years is a fulfillment of that warning that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. And he told Timothy, you know, but you be sober-minded, you endure hardship, and you do the work of an evangelist. And that's our response here. Our response, number one, is to be sober-minded. We have to evaluate these things from a biblical perspective. We have to think about these things from a biblical perspective, from a logical perspective. We have to endure hardship. People calling us names and canceling us and doing whatever it is that people do, and then do the work of an evangelist, which means that we don't back down from the truth of the gospel, because at the end of the day, that is our only hope. And so, again, this is not something that we ought to be surprised by, afraid of, and it's not something that ought to catch us off guard. We've been forewarned and we're forearmed.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because we're having attacks on everything. And what I always say is that ultimately all of this, the wokeness, whether it's critical race theory, the transgender madness, the idea that borders are optional. I mean, all of these insane ideas are an attack on
borders
God.
Are optional, but you still lock your door at night, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's that's the point, is that these ideas are at war with reality. They're at war with God. They're at war with nature's God and with the laws of reality. So this is not even a Christian thing. This is the thing about truth and reality, which are invented by God and which point back to him. And you're seeing it on every front. You're being told to believe insane things, that who's to say what a man or a woman is. Anyone with any modicum of common sense, you don't need to be a Christian. You say there's something wrong with that. There's something going on. What is going on? And what's going on is a demonic attack under the guise of these, you know, ideologies, critical race theory, critical theory, transgender. I mean, where did these ideas come from? Why are they being shoved down our throats right now? I sometimes think many non-Christians are much better at understanding the lunacy of it, but they're looking for the church to lead. And many in the church have not been leading, which is why I'm so proud of you and others who have been standing and pushing back against the madness, because this is madness.
Yeah, and I think it's important also. It's interesting, regardless of who you are, you get, you know, dismissed out of hand. But it's a little bit harder, and I say just a little bit, to dismiss Shelby Steele and Alveda King and myself, just saying that we're racist, right? Don't listen to them because they're racist. And in fact, it exposes one of the weaknesses of this ideology, because this ideology says, elevate Black voices, listen to Black voices. And then when our Black voices are elevated, people say, no, not those voices, which is quite interesting, because now all of a sudden you have white people who are saying that you need to listen to white voices because, right, they have the power and they need to sit down and be quiet. But at the same time, they're exercising that same power to say that this white Black voice is okay and that Black voice is not okay, which, again, takes you right back to the same place. These people are just, they're not to be listened to. They're not to be trusted. They're not to be believed.
But you're quite right. If you're a Black a man or woman in this country who's not saying what the woke people think you should be saying, they will denounce you as an Uncle Tom. Obviously, our friend Larry Elder made a film, Uncle Tom, and then the most recent one, the sequel, Uncle Tom 2. That's the irony. But again, we're talking about people who are at war with God's reality. They do not like the idea even of logic. When you fight them with logic, they say, oh, that's a patriarchal construction. That's white colonial thinking. They'll say anything. It's like the demon that doesn't want to be cast out. It will say anything it needs to say to get you to leave it alone, because we're dealing with spiritual forces, dark forces. We're out of time. Listen, Vody Baucom, we love you. We are grateful for you, for your book, Fault Lines. Vody, God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.